Welcome to the programme. Good evening and welcome to the programme. It is Wednesday, the 21st of February 2018. My name is Richie Allen. I hope you're well, hale and hearty, and I hope you've had a fantastic Wednesday. This is a brand new Richie Allen show, but it was pre-recorded this afternoon. Pre-recorded programme today, only for today. There's no change planned for this programme back to the two-hour live show tomorrow, but I had to pre-record it today. Don't worry, I think you'll find it interesting. Some fascinating things going on in the UK and around the world today. So I won't be asking for you to tweet me directly on Twitter as it's pre-recorded, but do feel free to tweet one another at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Tweet using that hashtag, at Richie Allen Show, and you can see what other people are saying. Like I said, got some very interesting things to talk about this hour, so stay with me. Thanks for choosing the programme. Let's crack on with the old show then.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Right, so it's around about 3:30 in the afternoon this Wednesday, the 21st of February, as I do this, in case anything major happens afterwards. You never know. You are listening to it on triggerwarning.tv, richieallen.co.uk, and of course, the programme is available and is streaming on fabradiointernational.com. Thanks for choosing it. Thanks for listening to me. Right then, let's just get rid of the old music. And I am back up and running, kind of, at the moment, kind of, on email. It's richie@richieallen.co.uk. Not thrilled with that at the moment. That's in no way to impugn the amazing work of Hayden Hugh. It's got nothing to do with him, but some teething problems being ironed out there. So I can get emails, but I'm not getting everything, and it's a little bit messy. But look, it's all on the up and up. The website is doing really well, the new website. Very happy with that. Very proud of it. And thanks for using it, and thanks for using the forums on it as well. So as I record this, as I'm chatting with you this afternoon, a couple of stories breaking. Influential US preacher Billy Graham dies. That's a big story this afternoon. He's had a 60-year career. I suppose if you're to think of televangelist, you think of Billy Graham, don't you? The man who counseled and met and influenced US presidents. God's ambassador, I think, was the nickname they had for Billy Graham. He's died. And, undoubtedly one of the best-known preachers, television preachers, at least of the 20th century anyway. Gun reform is making the news. I am going to start today with US news as opposed to UK-based news. I do that because I'm well aware of, because of our data, that we have an enormous listenership in the United States. It's actually kind of coming to a par now. We used to have around about 60% of our audience in the UK, and then 25% US, and then Ireland and elsewhere. But we're gaining a lot of audience, a lot of listeners, I should say, in the US. So today we're going to talk in the first section of this programme about US news anyway. Now, David Hogg is in the news. I'm going to speak about him in a minute in depth. Spoke about him all week this week. He's the young man who was, obviously, who survived the deadly school shooting in Florida last week. Conspiracy theorists have been saying that he's an actor, he's a shill, he's not real and all of that. And drawing attention to the fact that his dad is a former FBI agent. We'll talk about him in a minute. The US media is reporting that survivors of the school shooting in Florida are planning on marching to the state capitol to ask lawmakers to take more action on gun control. There's also talk about a march on Washington as well. We might hear more about that in this programme. Around 100 students have arrived in Tallahassee, the state legislature there, to take part in an organised protest of the youth-led anti-gun movement that seemingly has swept across the United States since the attack last week that Nicholas Cruz has allegedly taken responsibility for. We say allegedly because it was also reported and acknowledged by the police who currently hold Nicholas Cruz in custody that he had said demonic voices had told him to go and do it. This is a very strange story indeed. There's also a bizarre story today about Florida gun owners giving up their guns. And that's been widely reported. Now, as it stands, about 40% of Americans say they have a gun. And almost 40% of Americans defend their right to have a gun, depending on who you believe. But over the last couple of days, it's been reported in US media that people are so sickened by the violence at the school in Parkland, Florida last week, that they're giving up their guns. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Why would they do that? They had nothing to do with it. Anyway, let's move on. More on this Parkland school shooting last week. I have to say, not for the first time, that there is some extraordinary nonsense coming out of the independent media. Sadly, some in the independent media are claiming that David Hogg, the student who has been on many news networks talking about guns and gun control and the need for action, there are many claiming, many independent media, let's call them what they are, the Truth or Industrial Complex, many of the heroes of the Truth or Industrial Complex are even claiming that David Hogg went to high school in California. And they have used as basis for this, as evidence, that there are yearbook pictures showing him going to school in California. They are not. Those pictures have been faked. Right? The Truth or Industrial Complex claiming that he never went to school in Florida, that he in fact went to high school and graduated in California. It's garbage. And the Truth or Industrial Complex is garbage. And sadly, it will say anything at all, and gullible people will share it, and by sharing it, they will give these guys the oxygen. It's dreadful. You know, I talked about David Hogg all week this week. Patricia Negron was brilliant on the programme last night, speaking about David Hogg and his FBI father, and how it seemed that he was being coached by CNN when he was interviewed by them. That's David Hogg, by the way, was being coached by CNN. And he might well have been, but that isn't any evidence that he's a crisis actor. Now, CNN's Anderson Cooper asked David Hogg, who was sitting with his father last night, to respond to the conspiracy theories doing the rounds of the internet about him. This is what David Hogg had to say. You will first of all hear Anderson Cooper.
David Hogg and his father, Kevin, who, by the way, actually was in the FBI, could make time to talk about it. David, Kevin, appreciate you being with us. David, first of all, that Donald Trump Jr. is liking tweets espousing a conspiracy theory involving you and your dad. I'm wondering what goes through your mind when you hear that?
I'm just so sorry that these people have lost their faith in America, because I know I certainly haven't. The fact that these people refuse to believe that something like this could happen is something that all of us don't want to believe, but the sad truth is that it is. These people saying this is absolutely disturbing, and I'm not an actor in any sense, way, shape, or form. I am the son of a former FBI agent, and that is true. But as such, it is also true that I go to Stoneman Douglas High School.
Yeah, there'll be murder over that one. He stumbled there and he said, it's also true that I went to, that I attend the high school. And I think that's just a slip. But that will be reported today as some sort of proof that he's lying. Have a listen.
FBI agent, and that is true. But as such, it is also true that I go to Stoneman Douglas High School.
Yeah. Right. So some people will jump on that. The same people who faked the pictures of the yearbook in California, by the way. I'm guessing it's just a slip. Freudian slip. Look, ultimately, I don't know, but I don't think so. Anyway, it continues.
And I was a witness to this. I'm not a crisis actor. I'm somebody that had to witness this and live through this, and I continue to have to do that. But I'm also that it's just... it's unbelievable to me that these people are even saying this. And the fact that Donald Trump Jr. liked that post is disgusting to me, but it's also false in terms of the sense that these people keep saying that I'm anti-Second Amendment. I'm not. I would love, if I want every American to be able to own a gun that has a mentally stable mind, a person that has a credible background that doesn't have any previous like major convictions, and somebody that's not going to go out and commit these atrocities, because those are the people that are at fault here.
Yeah. Now, apparently, David Hogg was in California, and he was on the news, or he made the news a year ago or so when he was there, and a friend of his was involved in an altercation with a lifeguard or something like that. And some of the photographs of an interview that Hogg did at the time have been used to claim that he's a crisis actor and that he was doing an interview about another crisis in California. It isn't true. And this is what the truthers are doing. There are legitimate concerns about David Hogg, what he has said, but more importantly, who has put him up to what he is saying. That's very important. And it's important to look into that. Is he being used by those who would disarm people, or those who want to bring about a situation where it becomes more and more difficult for people to get a gun? There are concerns, and it's interesting, but truthers shout the loudest. The truther industrial complex lies, spreads genuine fake news, so that it becomes difficult to ask the legitimate questions about David Hogg and others like him. Hogg was a student at that Parkland school. I think that's the be-all and the end-all of that issue. He was. Shame on those who faked pictures to claim that he went to school in California. And shame on those so-called awakened ones, the ones who brag all the time about the fact that they are awake. Shame on them for sharing that garbage and giving it the time of day. Now, Anderson Cooper is a major anchor at CNN, a major anchor. I don't know him well enough to call him a major wanker. A major anchor, certainly. Now, he talked about crisis actors after he spoke with David Hogg and his father. Here's an interesting story. Apparently, Benjamin Kelly. Who's Benjamin Kelly, you might ask? Well, he worked for, until very recently, he worked for Sean Harrison. Now, Sean Harrison is a Republican congressman. Benjamin Kelly was an aide. Now, Kelly had been sending emails claiming that David Hogg and others were crisis actors, lawyers basically, that they weren't indeed attending the school and all of that. So Congressman Sean Harrison, upon finding out that his aide was sending emails like that, he fired him. He fired him. So Benjamin Kelly is out of a job. Now, this story prompted CNN's Anderson Cooper to talk about crisis actors and conspiracy theories. And this is it's just over 2 minutes long, but it's worth paying attention to, because this is going to demonstrate, and I know I do spend a lot of time talking about how the mainstream media operates, the machinations, how it does what it does technically, the language it uses, how it does what it does to confuse you, to blur the lines between fact and fiction. Listen to Anderson Cooper talk about crisis actors and conspiracy theories, and he eventually gets around to talking about Donald Trump Jr., who is, of course, Donald Trump's son. I've no time for the Trumps, as you know, or any other politician. But listen to this. This is very, very, very important.
The whole idea of crisis actors is an accusation we've seen pop up time and time again from alt-right and far-right conservative and conspiracy websites. The fact that what would possess Benjamin Kelly to say that in the first place is stunning, where he would get such a ridiculous idea. And as I said, the reality is most recently from the Sandy Hook shootings. The whole sick crisis actors business came up there as well. And just as a reminder, 20 young children lost their lives there, first graders and six adults. To be clear, David Hogg and Amber Gonzalez are not actors. They are students who lived through the Parkland school attack and are now empowered to fight for change. David has been on CNN, and yes, the 17-year-old has been critical of the president, but he's also said this.
My message to lawmakers in Congress is please take action. Ideas are great. Ideas are wonderful and they help you get reelected and everything. But what's more important is actual action and pertinent action that results in saving thousands of children's lives. Please take action.
Well, that was way too much, it seems, for a right-wing website called Gateway Pundit. Its piece ended its comments with this, quote, why would the child of an FBI agent be used as a pawn for anti-Trump rhetoric and anti-gun legislation? Because the FBI is only looking to curb your constitutional rights and increase their power. We've seen similar moves by them many times over. This is just another disgusting example of it. Not to be outdone, another extremist website, this one called True Pundit, also chimed in, quote, outspoken Trump-hating school survivor, son of FBI agent. MSM helps prop up incompetent bureau. MSM, obviously, is us, mainstream media. Why we'd want to, quote, prop up the FBI is not exactly clear. And for the record, I never got my mainstream media memo to do it. Anyway, True Pundit also said this about 17-year-old David Hogg. If Hogg knew the shooter would snap, as he and other students have professed, perhaps he could have told his father about it. Oh, but wait, his father was in the FBI. It would not have mattered anyway. That's the funny thing about the limelight kid. Often the lights can come crashing down on your head. Charming, but not actually the end. Someone calling themselves Thomas Paine retweeted the whole True Pundit article. And this part's important because while we'd normally be reluctant to even give these conspiracy theories any oxygen at all, it's what happened next that makes it newsworthy, because the person who hit the like button on the Thomas Paine tweet was none other than the president's own son, Don Jr. We'd love to talk to Don Jr. about why he did that, why he is, by extension, attacking these kids who just buried their friends. But it turns out he's in India promoting his father's real estate empire.
Yeah, you see, the problem is with Anderson Cooper is that Thomas Paine tweeted that the mainstream media used David Hogg to prop up the incompetent FBI, the incompetent bureau. Now, that's the tweet that Donald Trump Jr. liked. There isn't a conspiracy theory there. The FBI had several warnings, by their own admission, about Nicholas Cruz's behavior. And the FBI was aware that children, teenagers at the high school, were saying that he was most likely to shoot up the school. So if you listen back to this when you get a chance, when it's on YouTube, when it's on Podomatic, listen to the fact that Cooper starts off talking about crisis actors. Then he segues into talking about a couple of blogs and how those blogs were tweeted. But those blogs were not accusing anybody of being a crisis actor. They were hinting that David Hogg was being used to promote gun control, and that the MSM was propping up the FBI. Now, he said, Anderson Cooper, I didn't get the memo to prop up the FBI. But by not asking the FBI serious questions, salient questions, about why they didn't intervene, why they didn't act, what did they know, they are, by nature, they are propping them up. So Cooper is not too subtly there. He's blending two unrelated things together. Donald Trump Jr., who I couldn't give a damn about, I have no interest in him, he hasn't tweeted or liked anything that talks about crisis actors. But Cooper wants you to think that he has. Hence the long-winded soliloquy about crisis actors before mentioning that Trump's kid liked a tweet. That isn't journalism. That's propaganda. That's slant. That is spin. That is rubbish. And I want you to see how they do that. How subtly. It isn't very subtle when you're looking at it through the eyes of someone who's been around the media for over 20 years. But that's what they do, right? There was also a very interesting exchange, also on CNN last night. Now, Jack Kingston is a former Republican congressman. He's not happy about the high school students marching on the Florida state legislature, nor is he happy about the high school students marching on Washington. And Kingston suggests that our old friend George Soros might have a hand in it. The presenter, a woman called Allison, behaves as you would expect a mainstream media presenter to behave. She doesn't behave very well. But listen to the claims made by former Republican Congressman Jack Kingston.
Jack, I want to start with something that you tweeted, because I don't understand it. So let me read to everyone what you tweeted on Sunday night about this. You said, oh, really? Students are planning a nationwide rally, not left-wing gun control activists using 17-year-old kids in the wake of a horrible tragedy. Hashtag Soros, hashtag resistance, hashtag Antifa, hashtag DNC. Do you think that, Jack? You think? You're serious?
Allison,
you think these kids aren't acting on their own volition?
Allison, I think it's a horrible tragedy, and I'm heartbroken that young people have gone through this, and I hope that it never happens again. Mm-hmm. But I also know that their sorrow can very easily be hijacked mm-hmm. by left-wing groups
but do you
who
think it
have
has
an agenda. Well, let's ask ourselves, do we really think that, and I say this sincerely, do we really think 17-year-olds on their own are going to plan a nationwide rally? I would say to you very plainly that organized groups that are out there, like mm-hmm. George Soros, are always ready to take the charge, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like instant rally, instant protest,
yeah.
and
hey,
those
Jack,
groups are ready to take it, that,
Jack,
take
I,
it to
I'm
the
sorry,
streets.
I have to correct you. I was down there. I talked to these kids. These kids and, were, Jack? These kids were wildly motivated. I talked to these kids before they knew the body count of how many of their friends had been
Allison.
Killed. No, Jack, no one had talked to them yet. They
okay.
hadn't been indoctrinated by some left-wing group. They
well,
were motivated from
okay.
what they saw.
She won't shut up, will she, Allison, and let him back in. She loves herself, or the sound of her own voice anyway, does old Allison there. How does she know that people haven't sought to exploit the genuine anger and the genuine fear of youngsters going to those high schools, because their fear and their anger would be genuine and understandable, wouldn't it? So how does she know that people haven't sought to exploit that? But she won't let the guy get a word in edgeways.
Okay. What they saw and what
Allison,
they endured
I don't doubt,
during that
I don't,
ordeal.
I don't doubt their sincerity.
Yes, you do,
I'm
Jack.
She keeps jumping in, eh?
I absolutely know these children are heartbroken, but I also know they probably do not have the logistical ability
Jack,
to plan a nationwide rally
silly.
Without it being hijacked by groups that already had the pre-existing
yeah, Jack,
anti-gun
that's,
agenda.
Jack, it's just silly. They're already doing it. They're on buses
well, okay,
going to the
Allison,
state legislature today.
And,
they're 17 years old.
And,
they can figure this out. But
and they have the money for the bus, and they're ready to go. I mean, I just have a hard time
wow.
believing it.
David?
Come on.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, Jack, you're a friend. Who cares who's paying for the gasoline?
What do you mean, who cares who's paying for the gasoline? It's obviously important. If certain interest groups are using the children, taking advantage of their shock and their grief, you know, whatever happened, and whomever was responsible, children have died, we're told. Who's working on these high school kids if people are manipulating them? Oh, we saw the video of David Hogg speaking with CNN, the same network we just heard from, by the way, where it's absolutely apparent that somebody behind the camera is coaching David Hogg in terms of what he should say and how he should say it. Ridiculous to shut down Jack Kingston, the former congressman, and say that it's preposterous to suggest that the kids are being used or manipulated. They might very well be. Interesting, he threw Soros' name into the mix there on CNN, a network which loves old George Soros. You are with the Richie Allen Show for the 21st of February 2018. It's great to have your company. This programme, brand new, but was recorded a bit earlier on. Hope you're chatting away about these issues on Twitter and using the forums at richieallen.co.uk. Plenty more news when we come back after this very short break. Stay with me. Good to be with you.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
And thanks for tuning into Wednesday's program. Love that you do. Thanks for choosing the show. Right, let's talk about this. This is kind of interesting, I think, in light of the fact that we've talked, you and I, a lot about this, about our usage of social media and how our history on social media, the things we say, the things we do, the things we like, the things we approve on social media, and the things we share on, how those things can and will be used against us in the future. We're seeing it now. I want you to have a listen to Ortiz Laurie Harnifet of The Resident. I like her. She has a report on how a woman got a job as a tech reporter for the New York Times, but then was immediately fired after progressives used her Twitter history to label her as a racist and as a homophobe. Ortiz, The Resident, Laurie Harnifet. Have a listen.
The New York Times recently hired Quinn Norton as their lead opinion writer on technology and then immediately fired her because they're too wussy to stand up to the internet. Norton's been around for a while. She wrote for Wired and she was down with the whole Anonymous thing. So she tweeted a lot of crazy things because she was dealing with these kids, basically, who largely have a strong aversion to political correctness and a strong like for controversial, crazy-sounding language. They like to push the envelope. Like, she tweeted the word fag a lot, because that's the kind of language the Anon kids used. And that was her beat. So, she's also friends with a guy named Andrew Orenheimer, known by his online name, Weave. And Weave is a neo-Nazi. He's got a big swastika tattoo and writes for a neo-Nazi website and everything. So, when Norton announced she was going to work for the New York Times, the internet went nuts, saying they just hired a Nazi sympathizer and a gay basher. And just like that, The Times immediately fired Norton before she even got to do any work for them. Now, full disclosure, I know Weave too, which is why Norton's story really hit home with me. Because unlike a lot of people who get intensely shamed on the internet by the tolerant bully crowd, she didn't just cave. She didn't just go, "I'm so sorry, I've been so wrong in the past. You tolerant bullies are right, and I'm wrong." Instead, she said, "Yeah, I know him. I'm friends with him, and I think he's got some really terrible views." Which was awesome to hear, because you're not allowed to say that these days. You're not allowed to say that you like people you disagree with, or that you're friends with them, or just even know them, or see things as more than one-dimensional. And Norton stood up to that, which I applaud her for. The thing I don't applaud her for is standing up for the Times after they fired her. She handled it with grace and said, "No harm, no foul." But to me, the Times definitely fouled. She was a great hire with a genuine voice and unique perspective, and they fired her because of internet bullying. They let the internet decide who they hire, which to me is just gross. But even grosser is the fact that the Times didn't even know Norton's background. They didn't know she's controversial and willing to say things some people don't want to hear. Which begs the question, if the Times doesn't even know who they're hiring, what kind of investigative journalists are they in the first place?
Which is a very good question, very good point Laurie made at the end there. Quinn Norton is not doing anybody any favours by being so gracious with respect to the way she was treated by the New York Times. It's a disgrace, but this is the way it's going. Shame on the New York Times. they hired this woman to be a tech reporter, screaming snowflakes, troll the Times online, claiming she's this and she's that. They get their way and they fire her. This is dreadful. And as I'm talking about this, honestly, just as I'm doing this, as I'm recording the show today, I've just come across a story on the BBC's entertainment page, and it's about a programme on MTV, even MTV, which I haven't watched for years. Such an old fuddy-duddy I am now. Used to watch it a lot in the 90s, but not anymore. But MTV has a programme called Teen Mom 2. Jesus Christ, God only knows what goes on Teen Mom 2. But apparently they fired one of the stars of it. Stars, really? I've never heard of the guy. But then again, I'm not down with the kids anymore. They fired David Eason. Now, in the show, he's the husband of Janelle Evans. It's a reality show, so presumably he is her husband in real life. Why have they fired David Eason? Because apparently he made derogatory comments about gay and transgender people. Eason tweeted that gay and transgender parents should start teaching their kids better morals and that he would not let his children associate with gay and trans people or, quote, be that way. MTV said his personal comments do not reflect the views of MTV. Why? Are we stupid? As viewers, now, of course, I don't watch Teen Mom 2. Don't have any time to watch TV, let alone watch Teen Mom 2. But do we think that a man in a reality TV show, when he says whatever he says about whatever, about anything, that he is representing MTV? Of course not. It's ridiculous. Start teaching their kids better morals, he said about gay and transgender parents, and that he wouldn't let his children associate with gays or trans people or be that way. I don't agree with that. But why should he be fired for it? Why should he be fired for thinking as he does? It's not going to change his mind, is it? Firing him? It's crazy this, you see what's going on. By taking on this, I'm not saying whether I do or whether I don't agree with Eason. In fact, I don't agree with him. I'm sure there are same-sex parents bringing up children who are doing their best and giving them the best moral leadership they can. Doesn't change the fact that this presenter doesn't agree with same-sex parenting. I don't. I've said this before. But I don't agree with David Eason either. Why fire him? It's mad. It's wrong. It's fascist is what it is. I told you my own story about being offered a job by LBC in London, flying in from Spain several years ago. I'd spoken to them on the phone. They were very keen to secure my services. When I arrived in London, I was treated like a leper. Couldn't understand it. And then I was tipped off that they had been looking at my Facebook page and saw that I had been sharing stuff from conspiracy research websites. So there was no job for me then. Thank God. Never looked back. Never did. Right, let's move on. Let's talk about Syria. Now, a doctor in the Syrian rebel enclave of the eastern Ghouta or Ghouta region says the situation is catastrophic and he believes the international community has abandoned the people living there. Dr. Bassam, he has been labelled, spoke to the BBC and said, "We don't have anything. We don't have food, medicine, nor shelter. We don't have bread. We don't have anything." He said that every minute we've 10 to 20 airstrikes. 3 days of bombing in the area has reportedly killed nearly 300 people. This is the BBC writing. The Syrian military says it is trying to liberate the area from terrorists, but it has been accused of targeting civilians. Dr. Bassam said they targeted everything, shops, markets, hospitals, schools, mosques, everything. "I will treat someone," said Dr. Bassam, and after a day or two, they come back injured again. "Where is the international community? Where is the UN Security Council? They abandoned us. They leave us to be killed," said Dr. Bassam. about Eastern Ghouta or Gauta. Activists are claiming that more than 60 children have died and at least 1,400 people have been injured in the last 3 days. Fresh government airstrikes today killed at least 24 people, raising the death toll to at least 296. Says who? The fat T-shirt seller himself in Coventry, the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. He, T-shirt seller, said that barrel bombs were being used. Must be true then, eh? The fat T-shirt seller speaks, the media prints. The UN believes him, and the UN says war crimes are indeed being committed in Eastern Ghouta. Ghouta. It's been said so many different ways today. Here's UK Prime Minister Theresa May, herself a bona fide war criminal and murderess. See Yemen. She has her say on Syria. And here she is speaking at Prime Minister's Questions today.
We are appalled by the escalation of airstrikes in Eastern Ghouta and are deeply concerned by the reports that have been coming through of the ongoing deliberate targeting of civilians and civilian infrastructures. This is in blatant violation of international humanitarian and human rights law. And we as a United Kingdom government certainly do call on the regime and its backers to cease this campaign of violence. They should respect international humanitarian law, protect civilians, and allow rapid and unfettered humanitarian access, because there is concern that I think it's something like 700 people who need medical evacuation are being refused that evacuation by the regime.
Yeah, I wonder, does our friend Rami Abdelrahman, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, I wonder does he keep shouting to his wife, "Hey, love, look, they're speaking about me on the telly again," because everything May just said was given to her by a man or a woman who got it from another man or another woman who got it from the fat T-shirt seller in Coventry. By the way, this is the last time I'll refer to him as the fat T-shirt seller. It just defies all credulity. You know, this is where we're getting our news. Spent a lot of time on this yesterday. Won't labour the point. Here's US State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert. Here's Heather Nauert.
The horrors of East Aleppo are being repeated in East Ghouta with the ongoing slaughter of trapped civilians and woefully inadequate access for humanitarian actors. Russia must end its support of the Assad regime and its allies. They're responsible for the attacks, for the dire humanitarian situation in East Ghouta, and for the horrendous civilian death toll.
Yeah, they're pushing it all week. Might we see a resolution at the United Nations? No, we won't, because the Russians and the Chinese will veto it, as they should do. Might the United States go rogue? Might Donald Trump sanction airstrikes on Syrian air bases? I doubt it. The Russians won't stand for that, as you know. What about basket case Netanyahu in Israel? He's spoiling for a fight. Who knows? Like I said yesterday, though, the conditions are ripe for a massive escalation. With the Turks on the Syrian border in Afrin and the Syrians there and the Kurds in the middle, it's mad. They've been tugging at our heartstrings all day, the media, talking about the children. And I'm not mocking this, by the way. If children have died, what can I say? It's terrible. I'm not going to try and inject any pathos into this or try to sound like I'm concerned. I'm no bullshitter. You know, I'm no mainstream type presenter to try and do that. If children are dying there, it's horrendous. What can you do about it? Here's Juliet Tuma. She's UNICEF's regional communications chief. She's in Jordan, as it happens. She's asked by a Sky News presenter today, what can be done? In fact, what should be done?
Well, I think it's about time that something is done about it. We issued yesterday morning a statement. It was a blank statement because we really ran out of words to describe the suffering of the children in Syria. But something has got to be done about it. The war on children in Syria has got to stop.
We've seen the pictures, we've heard the screaming. What are the conditions like that people are currently living under in Eastern Ghouta?
Look, East Ghouta is a huge piece of land that is only 15 kilometers away from the capital, Damascus, and it has been under siege for more than 4.5 years. We estimate at UNICEF that in there, there are about 200,000 children who are trapped with very minimum access to basic supplies, including food. According to UNICEF, the area has the highest levels of malnutrition among children in the country and the highest that we've recorded since the start of the war. A pretty dire situation in there.
Do you believe that the bombardment is so intense because the Assad regime believes that the war is over and this is a final push?
Well, what we know is that violence is not taking place only in East Ghouta. We've seen over the past 48 hours a barrage of attacks on the capital in Damascus. There's an escalation in the operation up in Afrin. There's violence in Idlib. The war in Syria is far from over. And meanwhile, the war on children, and with it quite a high number of children killed and injured, is ongoing and is unabated, in fact. And this is exactly what needs to stop.
The war on children, the implication being, again, that the Assad government is targeting children. It isn't. It is not. Children, of course, are casualties in any war zone. Of course they are, as much as anybody else, and it's a dreadful thing, like I said a second ago. But the war on Syria, not the war in Syria, which they keep talking about, this civil war, which is a nonsense. The government isn't responsible for any of it, not for a sausage worth of it, nothing at all. And of course the government has nothing to gain by dropping bombs on houses and hospitals and on mosques and all the rest of it, like that Dr. Bassam said. The government has nothing to gain by doing that. But the UNICEF spokeswoman kind of redeems herself at the end of the conversation with the Sky presenter. Listen to this.
Syria has sadly become one of the most dangerous places to be a child in. And nowhere in Syria is safe. We've got reports that schools have come under attacks, hospitals, even children's homes and playgrounds and parks are being attacked. And this is really by everyone in Syria. And no one is realizing that they're all losing this war. And the only solution to this war for the sake of Syria's children is a political solution. There is not going to be a military solution to this war.
Yeah, it's a hellhole. Of course it is. That's what it is. No military solution is right. There's only one solution for Syria. And you will never hear this said on Sky, on the BBC, Channel 4 or Fox or whatever. The only solution is for the United States and France and Israel and the United Kingdom and Saudi Arabia to walk away from the country today. Stop arming Wahhabist super nutters, beheading enthusiasts. Stop helping them. Fuck off. And let the Syrian government and the Russians clean up the rest of these lunatics and restore order in Syria. That is the only solution. Going to take a very quick break. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show, 21st of February 2018. Back in a minute with more. Don't go away.
You lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www. www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back to the program. Let's talk about Poland, the Nazis and a Holocaust War Memorial in London. Let's do that. Came up at Prime Minister's Questions today. Before we hear from Theresa May, let me read from Sputnik News just very briefly. This is good stuff. The words of the Prime Minister of Poland that among the collaborators helping the Nazis during the Second World War were representatives of different nationalities, including Jews, has been confirmed by historical facts, according to the chief of the Polish Prime Minister's Chancellery, Michal Dworczyk. And he said this on Polish television. He said, of course, the Prime Minister said that there were perpetrators both among the Polish people and among other nationalities who were living in Poland at that time, among Jewish people also, and this is a painful truth. Discussion on this topic is continuing in Israel and incites deep emotions, Michal Dworczyk said on Polish television. Of course, Israeli historians say that it's part of an ongoing campaign to blur the lines between the murderers and the victims of the Holocaust. Earlier, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a telephone conversation with his Polish counterpart Mateusz Morawiecki, said that his words about the involvement of certain representatives of the Jewish people in the Holocaust were unacceptable. So Netanyahu had a phone call with Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki and said that any talk of Jewish people involvement in the Holocaust was unacceptable. Old Bibi, don't we love Bibi? Of course, this is driving Zionists mad. They're calling the Poles anti-Semitic. The Poles are racist. The Poles are blaming the Jews. No, they're not. The Poles are stating facts. Facts. You remember those? Remember when facts used to matter? When you made television programs and radio programs? Here's the issue being raised at Prime Minister's Questions this afternoon by Bob Blackman, MP. The virtue signalling is to the moon. Listen to this.
The whole House will be well aware of the excellent work done by the Holocaust Education Trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And in particular, the brilliant Lessons from Auschwitz project.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, the Polish Constitutional Court is considering a draft law which would make it illegal to refer to Polish death camps and also the role of Polish citizens during the Holocaust. Will my right-hand friend take up this with her counterpart in Poland to ensure that the families of victims and the survivors' words are heard, that history cannot be rewritten?
Yeah. Prime Minister!
Can I say to my honourable friend, I understand that this issue has, the government has already raised this issue with the Poles. What we should be doing is ensuring that nobody forgets the Holocaust. Yeah. Nobody forgets the horrific inhumanity to man that was shown through the actions that were taken by the Nazis in the Holocaust. And I think the Holocaust Education Trust does very important work. The Education Centre Memorial that is going to be placed here at Westminster will be a long-standing memorial to people and will also do that important job of educating people about the past to ensure that we never see such horrific crimes being committed again.
Yeah. You know, it's a shocking disgrace to spend £50 million to erect a memorial to a Holocaust that had nothing to do with the UK. It's mind control. Remember the Holocaust. Remember the Holocaust. Never forget. Never forget. Showing at a cinema near you, here's a brand new Hollywood film about the concentration camps. It is an industry, multifaceted, propaganda, never ending, to protect the most vile regime on earth, the Zionist government of Israel. Jews who were murdered by the Nazis would spit in the faces of the Israeli government because of its murder, its torture, its starvation and humiliation of Palestinians on a daily basis. The ethnic cleansing of Palestine, 800,000 Palestinians by the Haganah and the Stern Gang, those who lost their lives in Auschwitz and Treblinka and Sobibor would spit on the Israeli flag, so disgusted would they be at the behaviour and the conduct of the Israeli regime. So Jews must never be criticised. We must never look back and learn who funded the Nazi party. Banks, part owned by Bush Jr.'s granddaddy Prescott Bush. How America's wealthiest family supported the Nazis. The banks, the Havre Agreement, signed by the Nazis and the Zionists to relocate Jews and their money to Palestine and all the rest of it, and what that meant in terms of the war. That's what this is all about. Lest anybody start looking into what really went on and why and who profited from it all. Well, let's erect a Holocaust memorial. Let's shut down free speech and let's hound anybody who criticises Israel. Let's demonetise them. Let's destroy their careers. That's what it's all about. No excuse whatsoever for a Holocaust memorial in this country. It's a crock of shit, is what it is. Going to end on some, I think, more positive news. Spoke with a wonderful woman called Hannah Deacon on the programme the other night. Lovely woman, determined woman. Her six-year-old boy, Alfie Dingley, has a rare disorder that causes horrendous seizures that could kill him. You might have heard the programme. THC oil, cannabis oil, has changed his life. The boy and his family had been spending time in Holland to have the oil because it's legal there. The Home Office here had denied him a licence. Arseholes. Simple as that. Newport West Labour MP Paul Flynn, who's been on this programme before, said it takes a heart of stone to refuse the family medicinal cannabis to treat their son's epilepsy. He's absolutely right. Others have urged them to break the law. Get the oil in here somehow and take it here. Crispin Blunt, Conservative MP, put a question to Theresa May at Prime Minister's Questions today about Alfie and about medicinal cannabis. Here's the question and May's answer.
Can I tell the Prime Minister how welcome the Police Minister's statement was yesterday at the urgent question that he's going to help Alfie Dingley find a way through the regulations to access the medicinal cannabis that he needs? Could she not only ensure that the minister's words go beyond the popular view of "I'm from the government, I'm here to help," but also join the majority of states of the European Union, of the United States, of British public opinion, and all the colleagues who raised questions yesterday to give British citizens the earliest possible access to the potential benefits of medicines derived from cannabis on a proper evidence-based process, and for the United Kingdom to get on the front foot in licensing all the medical investigations that need to be done to get us these benefits?
Prime Minister.
I know that the sympathies of the members across the House are with Alfie and his family as he's undergoing treatment. And of course, people with chronic pain and debilitating illnesses, we recognise, will always look to alleviate their symptoms. But we do need to ensure that if we are going to allow, if medicines are going to be permitted to be used, that they have been through the most rigorous testing, that we apply the most rigorous standards before those drugs are used. And we believe that cannabis should be subjected to the same regulations that apply to all medicines in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, what a moron May is. Proper testing. What a laugh. It's being used in other European countries. It's being used in certain American states. The jury is not out on this. The oil has marvellous therapeutic health benefits for so many different ailments and diseases. Just give the child the oil. Open it up to people in this country. What an absolutely positive impact it might have on the creaking NHS. Just before we go and we finish up this Wednesday, it was reported in the in the Telegraph today that Eurosceptic MPs, including Jacob Rees-Mogg, had written to Prime Minister Theresa May setting out red lines for Brexit. This is a letter they sent. 62 Conservative Brexiteers signed this. They insisted that the UK must retain full regulatory autonomy after it leaves the EU, and they must be free to sign trade agreements with other countries during the so-called transition period. They were very definite about this, and of course I would agree with them, but it has been reported this afternoon by the BBC and others that a document has been leaked, and the document details the UK's plans for a transition period of around 2 years immediately after Brexit. And the document will be published today, Wednesday, and it says there are only a small number of areas where the EU and the UK disagrees. It has been said by the BBC today that this will make uncomfortable reading for Tory Brexiteers, because apparently the UK Prime Minister Theresa May is about ready to give the European Union what it wants, meaning that in the transition period, free movement of people will continue and any new EU law will have to be followed by the United Kingdom. Do you know what's happening here, dear listener? The government is being exploded from within. It's paving the way for an election, which I believe will be won by the Labour Party, but they won't have enough to secure a majority. They will need the help of others, and then Brexit will be off the table entirely. They are destroying Brexit. That's the way it's happening. It's happening in front of our eyes. Thanks for listening to the programme this Wednesday. Everything is back to normal tomorrow, Thursday, 2 hour live show, and thereafter, of course. Had to pre-record it today. Don't have time to get into that. Thanks for listening to it. Please share it on social media. And thanks to Simon for looking after our YouTube channel. I'll see you tomorrow, Thursday, at 7 p.m. UK time, as usual. And at the usual time, going to leave you with some Duran Duran. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. To